From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, the old classic Texas dance halls, how they're fading from the Lone Star landscape.
At the heart of a dance hall is just a quintessential element of Texas. I mean, it embraces everything that Texans are about.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. I produced this episode in 2009, and I focused on a particular dance hall called Club 21. But a year after this aired, Club 21 burnt to the ground. It is now gone.
Well, it's been standing since the 1800s, but tonight all that's left are memories. Club 21 in Euland, just outside Kyle, burned to the ground this morning. No one was inside at the time.
The fire at Club 21 was a tremendous loss. That location was unique. It was irreplaceable.
It was the heart of the community. It was the gathering place.
And this highlights that these classic Texas dance halls are endangered and that more needs to be done to repair, preserve, and protect them. Euland, Texas is one of those kind of towns that most people just drive past. It's on Texas Highway 21 between San Marcos and Niederwald. With an official population of 386, the town has seen better days. Euland lost its post office in 1902, and slowly many of its businesses packed up. But Euland still has its dance hall, Club 21.
Okay, my name is William Elsie, and I'm the owner of Club 21. And been here since 1964. My mother and my uncle bought it in 1964. And then my mother became ill, and I took it over in 1989 and ran it up until here about a year ago, and then I leased it out. It's a country dance hall. Been a lot of people here. A lot of people have met here, got married here, got divorced here. It's one of those deals, you know. It's just a good country dance hall where you come and have a good time.
Club 21 can boast that it's the oldest continuously operated country dance hall in Texas. The front part of Club 21 was built in 1893. 19 years later, the dance floor was added.
Oh, I learned how to dance right here on this floor. My mother taught me. I'm not the best dancer, but I can get around the floor pretty good.
The distinguishing feature of Club 21 is the high arched ceiling above the dance floor, tall enough so the building can be used for other functions.
My father-in-law, when there was a school here in Euland, he played basketball in here. And it was built as a dance hall, but they used it dance hall / basketball court, you know.
Basketball aside, the dance floor has always been the main attraction. And over the years, Club 21 has seen the times change, along with alterations in musical taste.
Years ago, when this place was built, there was in this area, there was a lot of farmers, all farmers basically, and in the evenings, after they got out of the fields or whatever, they wanted to go have a cool beverage, and this is where they came, and on Saturday nights, this is where they came. I mean, they used to have, I don't remember it, but years ago, my mother told me they used to have brass bands down here, the old German brass bands. And this is a German-oriented community. And but then as time went on, you know, country music has been around forever, but it started filtering in, and different people started moving in, and so the brass bands kind of went out, and the country and western kind of came in.
These days, country western music is what you'll hear at Club 21, and on the first Wednesday night of each month, you'll only hear classic country western music at The Gathering.
I am the producer of The Gathering. My name is Dorothy Cochran Henry. The Gathering is a country music show, just like a variety show. We're a little different than the Opry's because this is a place where you can come and dance, and they do sell alcohol here. So we don't refer to ourselves as a regular Opry, it's just a country music show.
Thank you.
this is an old dance hall that's been around for a good many years, and I came out here on my first date at the age of 16. And my husband had a band and played out here for 35 years once a month, and it's like coming home. So when I was looking for a place to produce a country music show, of course, this was the first thing that came to mind.
All right, folks, get your partners ready for a Paul Jones. Ferguson blows that whistle, now blow it. Gents form a circle and ladies form another one. In a minute, ladies go to the left and gents to the right. Keep her going round and round now. Keep her going round.
We've never had air conditioning and never have had heating or anything here. It's always been a traditional country music, like the File Brothers, Adolph Hoffner. Those were some of the bands that had played here. One of the things I was telling a person just a while ago that he came out here as well, every show you had a Cotton Eye Joe, the Shottest, and you always did a Paul Jones. Those were three of the most requested things that the band heard every night. This is what Texas used to be all about. You know, the whole time was the traditional country music. This is one of the eras that was there. Willie Nelson has played up here. Adolph Hoffner, so many of the big ones down through the years have been here. And you step in here and it's kind of like stepping back in time. And they kind of like that. And everyone that comes here just loves the show and the things that goes on here and the camaraderie.
That camaraderie wasn't just a luxury. In the early days of the European settlements of Texas, it was needed so the communities could survive and thrive as they tamed the wilderness. Steve Dean, Texas Dance Hall historian.
Well, that's what made these important. Those early settlers, particularly in central Texas, the German, the Polish, the Scot, all the Czech, all those people came here in the mid-1800s. And in order to stay alive, they had to stick together. And one of the first things they would do would be build a hall to where they know they could go. They had Turnverein, shooting. Schutz and Barons, all these places where the community would come together and exercise, practice their shooting, having their beef clubs, their social network was set up in these halls if they wanted to vote on, are we going to build a bridge over this road so we can get our cotton to market or whatever it took. These halls were instrumental in the development of those communities. Many times, communities of only a couple hundred people that came over on the same ship through Galveston and then made their way into central Texas and started these. That's why we have this plethora of German and Czech sounding community names and cities and townships in this area, is because they founded them in the 1840s, 1850s, 1860s. And this, so a lot of those early halls that turned into like SBJST halls or KJT halls or that, those were built, one of the very first structures in the community. And it was just so those cultures and those communities could actually stay alive and stick together.
You got my official title, Dr. Gary Hartman, Director of the Center for Texas Music History in the History Department at Texas State University. So they were really, for both the Germans and the Czechs in Texas, they were these multi-purpose sort of community halls. But over time, as more and more of the younger generations of Germans and Czechs moved away, moved into bigger cities, or perhaps lost their connection with their ethnic roots, the dance halls either closed or they had to open themselves up to a broader public. So what we know of today is Texas, typical Texas dance halls, or the classic Texas dance halls, such as Green Hall and Fisher Hall and Luckenbach Hall, now they're open to people of all different ethnic backgrounds, and they host music of all different ethnic backgrounds, everything from country dance hall bands to Zydeco bands to Tejano bands to singer-songwriters, and even occasionally some of them will still have German or Czech ethnic music.
They smelled pastilly cloud, slung se svinke long. Piva bylo dosti a jídla dosytosti, piva bylo dosti a jídla dosytosti, když jsme odpustili Prahu, slunce svítilo.
When talking about the music of Texas dance halls, two names will keep popping up, Willie Nelson and Adolph Hoffner. And it was Hoffner who was the undisputed king of the dance hall circuit.
Adolph Hoffner is a great example of that link between older traditions and the newer traditions. Adolph Hoffner, being part German and part Czech, had grown up in that sort of environment in which those old German and Czech dance halls were so vital. But then as he became a professional musician in the 1930s and into the 1940s and 50s and beyond, especially as a Western swing musician, he played in a lot of those dance halls.
Hoffner was born June 8, 1916 in Lavaca County, which is about halfway between San Antonio and Houston. It's Texas Czech country, and Czech was his first language. When Hoffner was 10 years old, his family moved to San Antonio. Influenced by hearing Melton Brown and his Brownies, Hoffner decided to become a singer in a Western swing band. In the mid-1930s, Hoffner formed a swing band, Adolph Hoffner and His Texans. Hoffner had his first and biggest hit in 1940 with Marie Elena.
Marie Elena, you're the idol of my heart. Maria Elena, why are we so far apart? I linger here in silent reverie tonight, where tiny stars remind me of your eyes so bright. Maria Elena, tell me, will we meet again?
He played primarily country music, especially Western swing and honky-tonk in those dance halls, but he brought with him some of those older German and Czech traditions. He not only would sometimes sing in Czech, but he brought the accordion into Western swing. So a guy like Adolph Hoffner was a real link between the older German Czech traditions of those Texas dance halls and the newer evolution toward those dance halls becoming primarily country music dance halls.
With success in Texas under his belt, Hoffner head out to the West to become a singing cowboy of the silver screen like Gene Autry. Hoffner had the sound and the movie star looks to pull it off, but he also had the name Adolph. This is the time that the United States was at war with Germany. The nation was putting German nationals into internment camps, and anti-German sentiment was raging in popular culture. The band became Dolph Hoffner and the San Antonians, and that was the only concession to his name that Adolph was willing to make. Legend says that when a Hollywood producer asked him to change his last name, Adolph said, "Hoffner was good enough for my father, and it's good enough for me." He didn't have his contract renewed for playing in the Los Angeles area, and he came back to Texas. Back in San Antonio, Hoffner took to the radio airwaves again and began a long-time sponsorship with Pearl Beer.
Thank you there, partner. Say, how do you do, all you good friends and neighbors? Want to say thank you very much, each and every one of you nice folk, once again down us in, just like we say thank you every time that you good people say, a bottle of Pearl, please. Well, fellas, looks like everybody's just ripping in a raring here.
Oh, yeah.
And who's going to rare up first?
Raring
now. Say, who's going to do
it,
though?
Oh, I am, Adolf.
All right, what you going to do, Leon?
You can't break my
heart. Well, all right.
Now the band was Adolf Hoffner and the Pearl Wranglers. They performed a musical mix of swing, country, rockabilly, Spanish standards, and polkas. Hoffner and his band were always busy. They were in demand in the dance halls in the hill country.
He always packed the clubs, and he would always play some music for the older folks and then the middle generation and the younger generation. He included it all. I've got recordings of his that are rockabilly songs, and I've got recordings of his that are old polkas. And so he did it all, western swing, you name it, honky tonk. He included all the different styles that were popular in the dance halls back there, and I think that's one of the reasons for his popularity.
Ten panski kochi, mamo le oči, on se mnie wybdawa, gdy ja spim w nocy. Julajda, ja cię mam rada. Julajda, ja cię rada mam. A ja spim sama na naší půdě, žádnej za mnou v les nikda nemůže. Julajda, ja cię mam rada. Julajda, ja cię rada mam.
Later, as country western music began its commercial rise, Hoffner didn't try to conform to the dictates of Nashville. Instead, he dug deeper into his roots and sang Czech and German standards. Hoffner's career ended in 1993 when he suffered a stroke. He died in June of 2000. But just prior to his death, Adolf Hoffner was inducted to the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Well, look at that, fellas. Looks like we'll have to be leaving, all you good friends and neighbors. So speaking for all the Pearl Wranglers and all the swell folks at the Pearl Brewing Company, brewers of premium quality Pearl beer, this is your old friend Adolf Hoffner saying goodbye. And thank you, good people, for listening.
This is Texas Dance Hall Memories from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Back at Club 21, business looks good on this hot summer night. As the giant fans blast, cold beer is in demand.
We sell a lot of beer here, and we don't sell, anything from Holland or Germany or Japan or anything like that, but I mean, it's just good beer. Of course, you have to have your license to run a place like this, and that is always so expensive. With three different licenses that you have to have, or four, to run a dance hall and to keep one operating, and it's just keep the maintenance on a place like this. You have to be maintaining it all the time. It's like we had a plumbing leak yesterday. The roof, if it leaks from the building shifting from dry years and wet years, you have to fix the roof. It's just a number of different things.
That's Rush Morton on stage, a 17-year-old country western singer who's been performing at dance halls and local operas across Texas since he was 5 years old. Rush says he likes the old-time country music, and it means a lot to him that he's on the same stage that many of the country greats also performed on.
It means a whole lot. It means a lot to be pretty chill bumps on you when you stand up there on places like this.
Dr. Gary Hartman of Texas State University says Morton is in good company. Texas dance halls gave George Strait a stage and an audience when no one else would.
It's interesting. Of course, George Strait was a student here at Texas State University in the mid-70s, and he wanted to play traditional country music. But at that time, in the mid-70s, progressive country music was what dominated the club scene in Austin. So he had a lot of trouble getting gigs in Austin. Everybody wanted progressive country music in Austin. So George Strait, in order to play traditional country music, Western swing and honky tonk the way he wanted to, he had to look around at some of these old German dance halls in these rural communities and get work playing there, because it tended to be the older crowds living in those rural communities that wanted to hear traditional country music. So that's really where he got his start.
I'm on my way to Amarillo. I can't seem to get my fill of that little West Texas town. I've got a sweet thing built right, Betty, head to toe. She's mighty pretty living in that West Texas town.
My name is Krista Gebbia. I'm the executive director of Preservation Texas. Preservation Texas is a statewide nonprofit organization, and we are advocates for preserving the historic environment.
In 2008, Preservation Texas named Texas Dance Halls one of the most endangered historic places in the state. That listing was seen as a wake-up call to many in Texas who didn't want to see the dance halls erased from the landscape.
At the heart of a dance hall is just a quintessential element of Texas. I mean, it embraces everything that Texans are about.
Well, there are challenges facing Texas dance halls. There are dozens and dozens that have shut down over the years. They've fallen into disrepair. Some of them have burned down or collapsed. But there are a couple of organizations out there now that are trying to preserve the dance halls, trying to fix up some of the older ones that are in danger of collapsing. So there are people who are organizing to try to preserve the dance halls and preserve that dance hall tradition.
Patrick Sparks, I'm the president of Texas Dance Hall Preservation, Inc. The dance halls are the most Texas thing there is. They're at risk from a variety of factors. One is abandonment, lack of use, decay, and development pressures, say from transportation projects or urban sprawl, and people moving away from the communities. So these are very often in very small communities, and the young people don't stay there, they don't stay on the farms and so forth, and so they move away. And even though the culture still exists, you go to so many dance halls in Texas, and it's like going back 100 years, and you can still experience that, but that isn't gonna be around for much longer. And so we think that saving the dance halls is one step towards saving that part of the culture. And of course, one way to save the dance halls is to get people to dance in them, because that's what they're really all about. The social dancing is part of the fabric of these communities, and it's part of the character of Texas. You can go anywhere in the world and people know what you mean when you say Texas two-step. And that's the reason for that is because of the Texas dance halls. I grew up in Brownwood, Texas, and which is a little outside of the dance hall world. It's more honky tonk. It's more of a honky tonk area. And so dancing and drinking were not really looked upon in a positive light in that area. And so when I moved, I went to Texas A&M, which is right in the heart of the Czech settlement area. When I got there, I noticed that everybody's dancing and they have a beer in their hand and they're all having a great time and there's no fights. And I thought, wow, this is unbelievable. And so a buddy of mine and I started going around and looking at some of the old halls. We went to Round Top and Snook and all the places are out in that area, and saw the old halls, and I just fell in love with them because it's just startling. I mean, it's startling that it still exists, you know, and it's so, I don't know. You have to go to a dance hall and experience it to know what it's about, but it's pretty magic.
The Texas Dance Hall Preservation Group has become the vanguard for working to save the old halls. In addition to consulting with dance hall owners about maintenance issues, they use the web and social media to promote events and bring a crowd to special dances at the historic dance halls.
Oh, yes, there is a scene. There's a scene.
Emily June says she's a dance hall diva, and she's part of a growing dance hall scene.
I am addicted to the dance hall calendar and all the bands that actually perform at them. So I make it my mission to, when I'm not working, to find out where the next big event is going to be in Texas. Most important is the band. It has to be a good band. It has to be old country, traditional country. It cannot be new country. I love the drive to it. That's another thing. They have to be remote. They cannot be anywhere in the city limits. No city lights, no traffic. That's preferred. We like it when they're on the off the beaten path on a gravel road, not paved. Go over cattle guards, that's even a bonus. Men are men at these places. Okay, they are. They're old. They're very old-fashioned. They dress well. They're starched. They're upright. I keep saying upright, but it's because they are. And they take pride in the way they look, and they ask you to dance. They actually approach you. It's, again, it's a very romantic experience.
They're such a huge part of the state and the iconography and the mythology here. John Spong, and I'm a senior editor at Texas Monthly. Dance halls kind of are the most important buildings, places, gathering places in their communities. But outside of those communities, nobody really knows about them, unless it's a really famous place like Green or Luckenbach. The other places like the Queehee Gun Club, on any given Saturday night when they've got a dance in there, there's gonna be 70 and 80 year old people that learned how to two-step there when they were little kids. And so even though the rest of the state doesn't know about Queehee, it really matters a lot to the people in Hondo and Castroville, you know, in the surrounding area. There's not a more important place for them where they live.
While each dance hall was critical for its local community, each one of the halls collectively had an unimaginable impact on the development of a unique Texas culture.
You can look at the influence of Texas music on American music in general, and it all comes back to dancing and dance halls. The kind of music that came out of the Texas dance halls was unique, and it had a profound effect on American popular culture. And when you go outside of the United States, people recognize these forms of music as very distinctive and very Texas.
The question is, are these the last days of the classic Texas dance halls? Can places like Club 21, the Queehee Gun Club, Schrader Hall, and Holt Hall, and so many others survive for another 100 years?
I do fear for some of them. I fear for some of the dance halls that are perhaps out in more remote communities where they can't draw in the crowds on a regular basis to find the funding to for the upkeep and that sort of thing.
I think if we're going to keep that history, we need to keep it now and not turn it into a mall or a highway or something like that that you can find on any street USA. We need to try to keep what little history we have and keep it, preserve it, promote it.
I'd like for them to still all be right where they are and people still dancing in them. That's what I'd like. A place for little kids to go dancing. Still doing Waltz Across Texas, that's right, and a polka and a schottische, you know, that's what we want.
Texas with you. Oh, buddy, now.
This has been Texas Dance Hall Memories from Texas Public Radio. I'd like to know your Texas dance hall memories. You can email them to us at texasmatters@tpr.org. We'll post them on our website at tpr.org. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.